Hello! Thank you for joining us today on this second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. It is during the feast that we especially look forward to the kingdom of God, a kingdom that Jesus said is not of this world. We look forward to the kingdom knowing our current country and knowing of other countries that share our planet. Living on a planet with access to digital and print maps and globes, we are given a better understanding of the world we live on, but until we travel to a new place, we really don't know for ourselves how that new place will be. Imagine going back thousands of years where they didn't have the maps, globes, or GPS that we have today. The idea of leaving one's country and traveling to a distant place could have been overwhelming, and yet people did it. Several years back, I had the chance to visit Hawaii. And the story of how Hawaii was settled seemed incredible. Polynesians from what is today the Marquesas Islands traveled to what is today Hawaii using what is thought to be double-hulled canoes, and they traveled 2,000 miles. The Polynesians had skills to help them. They knew they could use the stars at night to help them navigate and paid attention to migratory birds. They understood ocean currents and how those could be used to help them on their journey. And when they saw a rainbow, they knew a storm was near. They didn't come alone. They brought animals and plants from home along on the trip to be used once they arrived. There was a time when travel between Hawaii and the other Polynesian islands continued, but eventually that period of travel ended and Hawaii developed its own social system. The history behind how Hawaii was settled is incredible, and it speaks of a journey by people who were seeking a better country than their own. The thought of traveling across a wide ocean with thousands of miles to go, relying on stars, ocean currents, and migrating birds using a double-hulled canoe is probably something most of us would not try today. Many know of the history of Spanish exploration in the New World, and less understood is the role of the converso, the crypto-Jew, who used this as an opportunity to escape the Spanish Inquisition. Though they legally needed to have special permission to move to the New World, many of the conversos or crypto-Jews managed to bypass authorities. The conversos were Jews forced to convert to Catholicism who secretly maintained their Jewish faith. Within the Spanish New World colonies, great efforts were taken to prevent Judaism from taking hold, so those crypto-Jews who made it to the New World were forced to practice their religion in secret. They would secretly light candles to observe the Sabbath, avoid eating pork, and secretly fast when needed on holy days. Eventually, the Spanish Inquisition became the Mexican Inquisition, and that led many crypto-Jews to move to the border areas of New Spain, which today would include Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California in the United States. The crypto-Jews were persecuted and left the land they knew for something better, preferring the uncertainty of the unknown over the certainty of persecution. Shortly after World War II, British India was divided into the Union of India and the Dominion of Pakistan. Today, the Union of India is known as the Republic of India, and the Dominion of Pakistan is known as the Islamic Republic of Pakistan and the People's Republic of Bangladesh. At the time, princely states were given the option to join either India or Pakistan or remain independent. When the British drew the boundary lines dividing the territory, it caused a huge displacement of people, with those of the Islamic faith leaving India for Pakistan, and those of the Hindu faith leaving Pakistan for India. Estimates provide different numbers, but approximately 15 to 20 million left to live in a country reflecting their religious faith, and hundreds of thousands are thought to have died in the process, which came with a good deal of violence. Today, many countries around the world are seen as desirable places to live, and many who live in other countries will risk just about everything to emigrate to those desirable countries, even if it means that they enter the country illegally. While at Sabbath Bible Study, we urge everyone to obey the law of the country in which they live, those who immigrate illegally into a country can find themselves running afoul of the country's immigration laws, even being deported back to their country or another country altogether. Not having the legal right to hold a job or even have a bank account also creates a higher risk of exploitation. But for these people, that higher risk of exploitation, running afoul of the law, and even being deported is more desirable to them than remaining in their own country. The history of mankind has all types of examples of people who desired a better country and moved there. And today, even within countries, people will move from one part of the nation to another part of the nation if it is more favorable for them. The account of God's interaction with Abraham when he was known as Abram included God telling Abram to leave his country to travel to a land he would be shown by God. That took place thousands of years ago, and yet Christians today are told to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. In a way, the faithful today have also been told to leave our country for the kingdom of God to come. With Abram, he physically left his country, and for us spiritually, we leave our country behind, and that is important for us to remember as we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. God promised Abram that through him, a great nation would come, and that through him, mankind would be blessed. The world physically looks at this promise as the nation of Israel. But through Paul's letter to the Galatians, we will see that spiritually, we look at Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of that promise. Abram heeded God's words to leave his country when he was 75 years old. Today, at age 75, most people would want to remain retired without a major disruption to their life. Abram packed up his family, extended family living with him, his household servants, and all possessions, and they left not knowing where they were going. Similarly, when we are told to seek first the kingdom of God and read in Revelation about the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God, we know where God is taking us, but because we have never been to the kingdom of God before, we see through a dark, smoky glass and trying to understand what the kingdom of God will be like because we rely on prophecies of what it will be like. And those prophecies come with that dark, smoky glass effect. Abram and his family traveled to Canaan, to the place of Shechem and to the plain of Moreh. It was here that God promised the land to Abram, and Abram built an altar to God there, even though he continued to journey. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance what they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. From Paul's letter to the Galatians, he pointed out that God promised the land to his seed, meaning Jesus Christ. With all of the conflict surrounding the modern nation of Israel, when Jesus Christ returns, according to Paul, the land described by God to Abram was promised to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will take what is rightfully his as the millennium begins. Galatians 3, verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that is, should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. We are told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, but God has not called us to be taken out from this world. In one of his final acts before the crucifixion, Jesus prayed that we should not be taken out from the world, but that we should be kept from the evil of this world. He showed that we are sanctified by truth. And if we are sanctified by truth, that means evil comes from lies, which is probably one of the reasons why God won't have liars in the kingdom of God. John 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest taken them out of the world, but thou should keepest them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. From prophecy, we know the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is needed so that we can overcome evil and be given eternal life. Ultimately, we overcome evil with good. And as we overcome living in this world and being kept from evil, we need to remember that the forces of evil seek our spiritual destruction. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. In his mind, he judges and convicts us of sin and then brings his findings to God. When Jesus taught to not judge so that we are not judged, that came from not only a place of truth, but of having Satan accuse others of sin. Satan, who was found to have sin, now seeks to have others found with sin, and through prophecy we are told the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes overcoming these accusations and all forms of evil a reality. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Here we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and from his letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote to let nobody judge us in respect to what we eat or drink, a holy day, the months of God's sacred calendar, or the weekly Sabbath. Then Paul goes further and tells us these are shadows of things to come. Shadows are an image created when an object stands before a source of light. And in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the object in quotation marks is the body of Christ. As we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, we do celebrate the kingdom of God. And the Feast of Tabernacles is, as are all holy days, a shadow of things to come connected to the body of Jesus Christ, showing that the holy days as shadows of things to come should lead us back to Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I see a shadow, I can easily recognize if the shadow I see is my shadow or if it belongs to another person, living thing, or object. I am never confused about the shadow I see. I sort of like my shadow closer to sunrise and sunset because my shadow looks tall and lean rather than the reality. But even then, I know my shadow. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. In his second letter, Peter explained that if we want to enter and be part of the kingdom of God where Jesus Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we must be diligent with the faith we have been given to make our calling and election sure. The promises that have been given to us of eternal life, the kingdom of God, and the return of Jesus Christ were given so that we could be partakers of the divine nature, which circles back to not only seeking first the kingdom of God, but also seeking God's righteousness. Beyond diligence to faith, we add virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles means all of these are important to us, and it also indicates all of these are things we will be doing now in this life. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we were called to the faith on our journey to the kingdom of God, as much as Abram was called on his journey, we were called not because of who we were, but because of who God is. God, who embodies righteousness, easily could have easily passed on any and all of us. There is nothing that any of us have done, are doing, or will do in the future that could compel God to call a person. When God calls a person, it is because it fits his purpose and grace that is made available through Jesus Christ, effectively abolishing death as eternal life is now on the table for those who believe. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The calling we have been given that will lead us to eternal life in the kingdom of God is a calling that requires us to walk worthy of that calling. We have been entrusted with the Holy Spirit, with the hope of eternal life and the kingdom of God that was made possible through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we walk worthy of the calling we have been given, we don't live thinking we are somehow better than others, because the difference between those who are called and those who are not yet called at this time is a decision by God. And remember, God called the weak and foolish of the world to confound the mighty. Walking worthy of the calling we have been given also means we have patience, and through love we tolerate others of the faith, all with the intent to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit and the bond of peace, because we all worship the same God. We all receive forgiveness of sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we all hope for eternal life in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Walking worthy of the calling we have been given reminds me as a retired teacher of the Code of Ethics for Educators in Texas, which broadly covers three areas. First, standards are given for how an educator should fulfill responsibilities to the school district employing the educator. Next are standards in how an educator should work with another educator. Finally, standards are given in how an educator should work with students. All in, there are 30 standards given, and the violation of any of the standards would mean the educator is not walking worthy of their vocation. Some violations could lead to criminal prosecution, and any violation could lead to loss of the teaching certificate. When Paul wrote that we should walk worthy of the vocation we have been called to, there is this urgency that we spiritually do what is right. In Hebrews, we can see a further discussion on the importance of being faithful to the calling we have been given. And we are given Jesus Christ as an example, who was shown to be faithful as Moses was faithful. Hebrews shows that Jesus was worthy of more glory than Moses, because Jesus was the Word who was with God in the creation and played a role in the establishment of Israel and the Exodus during the time of Moses. Hebrews also shows that if we hold fast to the heavenly calling we have been given, we will be part of the house of Jesus, meaning we will be part of the kingdom of God, having eternal life, the kingdom that we celebrate during the Feast of Tabernacles. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The Philippians were reminded of the need to never give up on the calling they had been given. Paul told them he did not think of himself as having already attained eternal life, but something he had to reach for. He encouraged the reader to think the same way. He added a caution about people who are the enemies of Jesus Christ, and in context, these are people who were of the faith, who thought that they had already attained eternal life, and because in their mind they had somehow attained eternal life, Jesus Christ was not important for them, and their focus shifted from the kingdom of God to come to life today. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Having been given our calling now to be part of the kingdom of God to come, which we celebrate during this Feast of Tabernacles, that calling comes with a reminder that God did not choose many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble. God chose us because on a scale from complete fool to completely wise, we are closer to the side of being a complete fool. God called us as fools so that as fools we can confound those things which are mighty, and to do all that confounding so that the glory goes back to God our Father through Jesus Christ and not any individual. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When we were called, we were called just as we were, but the expectation is that we not remain as we were, but that we spiritually grow and mature where what we do is done through love. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. The Galatians were reminded by Paul that our calling is a calling of freedom from the penalty of death, made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that will be easy to see at the return of Jesus Christ when the kingdom of God is established. Knowing we have this spiritual focus on our calling, we should not be focused on those things that are physical, that are not aligned with what God expects of us. Freedom from the penalty of death that is imposed on sin does not mean we have a license to sin, but we should see that freedom as a reason to be of service towards others in love, where we love others as ourselves. Paul cautioned against nitpicking with each other, because eventually that can lead to alienation of people. He advised that if we walk in the Holy Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we will avoid those things which are sin. Walking in the Holy Spirit will lead us to do those things which are spiritual and right before God. Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not of the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, looking forward to the time when Jesus Christ has returned and established the kingdom of God. Having this hope, that should lead us to become more and more like Jesus Christ, to become pure, to do that which is of the Holy Spirit, and to avoid that which is sin. It should lead us to not only seek first the kingdom of God, but to also seek God's righteousness. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. For you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Peter writes that the calling we have been given is a calling that comes with a blessing we can inherit. Knowing that blessing is something that we have not yet been given, the blessing of eternal life in the kingdom of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles, looking forward to the kingdom of God to come, that should lead us to the unity of the Holy Spirit, that we should have compassion on each other, that there should be brotherly love steeped in pity and courtesy. The calling we have been given comes with a blessing we can inherit. So there is never a reason why we should repay evil with evil. Even when evil is tossed our way by another person, we need to respond with a blessing, and that's hard. But remember, Jesus suffered during the crucifixion and was reviled by the crowd around him before he died. His death was horrific and led to a blessing of eternal life that will eventually even be made available to those who crucified him. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they should speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles that looks forward to the kingdom of God to come. That kingdom will be established when Jesus Christ returns, when we will be given eternal life. During this present time, there are requirements on church leaders and those who preach to willingly and without resentment to feed the flock. The service of church leaders and those who preach is also based on willing service and not to create an opportunity to make money. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. All who are called at this time, including church leaders and those who preach, need to humble themselves. Within the church of God, there is no place for pride, as if we have saved ourselves. Humility will lead us to understand that our place in the kingdom of God, while made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is a decision that God will make in due time, and that is not a threat, but a realization that God cares for us. God, our Father, cares so much for us that we should give our concerns to God because God cares for us. As we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness during this Feast of Tabernacles, we will remain vigilant because we know Satan seeks our spiritual destruction. We don't resist Satan by confronting Satan, but by remaining steadfast in the faith. We also know we are not alone in resisting Satan and the challenges of life that can weigh us down so much that all who are called also face these challenges. We face these challenges knowing we have not been called to simply endure this life, but we have been called to eternal glory by Jesus Christ. And that glory will be realized in the kingdom of God to come, which we celebrate during this Feast of Tabernacles after we have endured the hardships of life today. Verse 6. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Like Abraham, when he was known as Abram, was called to leave his country for a land that God would show him, so we have been called today. We might not physically leave our country, but spiritually we do those things of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit that leads to eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who will return and establish the kingdom of God during a time we think of as the millennium and celebrate during the Feast of Tabernacles. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow for the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.